Bibles, open them up to 1 John chapter 3. I'll give you a little hint. That'd be the John with the number in front of it, not behind it. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Our sermon title today is called Knowing, Showing Love, but I've got a better title. I am calling it What Love Is, because as I read it and studied it, that's what it became apparent to me. What love is can lead us to knowing, showing love. 1 John chapter 3, way in the back. Verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His love for us. Life. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This, then, is how we know we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know by the Spirit He gave us. Hallelujah. May God add His blessings to that as we join our hearts together and find Him. Let us pray to seek this message. Heavenly Father, let this message be from You, that it would be strengthened, it would be a continuing light to the flame that burns within us, that we would be able to use this message in our week to come to witness, to minister, to show Jesus Christ to those around us. In His name we pray. Amen. Today I am a little bit overrun. Throat is seriously dried out. So, and so today, you, my brothers and sisters, are going to have to take a trip with me. And I promise you, I'm going for tears today. It's been that kind of week. I'm sorry if you start bawling. It ain't my fault. This stems from things I saw this week, from going and doing a funeral, from watching a family prepare for a passing, from hearing words that I'm about to share with you that taught me what love is. What love is. And knowing and showing and caring and giving it forth are all the actions of it once you know what love is. And I'd like to call what I had this week reminders for the week to come, that we need to remember that word every so often and be in it and be full from it. The dictionary says the following about love: a strong feeling of attachment induced by that which delights or commands admiration. Preeminent kindness. Preeminent kindness. That means always there. Preeminent kindness or devotion to another, affection, tenderness, as the love of brothers and sisters. An affection, kind of feeling, friendship, strong liking or desire, fondness, goodwill, opposed to hate, and often with of and end and object. I love you. Three little words strung together. Most guys think those three little words can get them out of trouble with their wife. On occasion, they're right. But today, we use love for everything. Oh, I love the chocolate wonderfall at Golden Corral. Oh, I love this thing that I saw on TV. I went with children yesterday to go watch them as they played at Hershey Park. Oh, I love this ride. It's the greatest ride I've ever ridden, until they rode the next one. Oh, I love this. Oh, Daddy, I love this. This has been the greatest day. We had one little girl get along with us. The day hadn't even started yet, and she climbed in the van that we were all going together in, and she said, "This is the greatest day of my life." And at the end, they asked her. She goes, "This is the greatest day of my life." children yesterday, oh, I love these french fries. I love that cotton candy. I love this. I love that. No, I don't love that ride. And ride scared me a little bit. I use the word love a lot. And that's okay. Because it helps portray an emotion. John, the writer here in this letter, in this moment, in these words, says these simple things. What love is Jesus Christ. That's where you start. You forget everything else and you put it right here. We start here. Jesus Christ. And then we learn how to put love to show that faith. We learn how to bring that together. And I wanted to make it very clear today that because of Him, the moments of freedom that you share are yours. And I'm not talking about living in a free country. I'm talking about those moments of freedom when you can choose and you choose to continue following Him. That's freedom. That's freedom. And today I'm dripping with emotion about it, because how can you not think of who you were? Over here, again, who you were and who you are now. When you didn't know the gospel, when you didn't go, we've all known right from wrong. You don't do this. And sometimes you make little things along the way that are okay. Well, they gave me too much money back in the grocery store, and I'll just put that in their pocket. That's their fault. No, it's not. That's stealing. But you still didn't discern it. Oh, I'm a good person. I know a lot of good people. And they're good. I mean, they don't kill, they don't cheat and rob. And they're pretty good people, and they're good friends of mine. But they're going to hell. Why? Well, you don't need Jesus Christ like that, Paul. You don't need that. But the love that I have for who I am now versus who I was, and for those people I want them to be over here, wrecks my body sometimes with emotion. How in the world can you not get a taste of Jesus Christ and everything that He has to offer and not fall madly in love with Him? Hallelujah! How can you not? And that's what the writer is saying here. This is what we know. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That means die. And yet sometimes in the simplest moments, in the simplest actions, when we're asked to do something, we figure every way out of it. I'm personally inviting each and every one of you in this room tomorrow night to the rescue mission. We start setting food out at what time?
About
6:30. About 6:30. At 7 o'clock, the mic's flipped on, and we go live. You don't have to really do anything. Put out some cookies, keep me from the brownies, and prepare yourself. You want to sit in the pew and say, I love Jesus Christ, and yes, Pastor, you're right, and that's what love is, and amen, and hallelujah, and God bless, and all that. And then when we say, hey, we need some help at the rescue mission tomorrow night, and by that help we mean just sit there and sing. Just sit there and listen. Just sit there and praise God, and let these people know that are fighting to get out of whatever struggle they're in, that they have light at the end of the tunnel. Because look, we were wretched sinners, and now we're Christians, and there's something out there for them. Be it. I'm inviting each and every one of you. You don't have to do nothing. We become too settled down. We start to lose that remembering of that emotion. I have been racked with emotions this week because it has reminded me that the love so freely given by Jesus Christ wasn't mine to just stick in a box and put on a shelf. There's an old story that talks about a man who stormed into the wife of a Christian lawyer. Now, I know sometimes you have problems connecting those two words, but this is true. But we know that he stormed into the office one day, into the office of a Christian lawyer, and wanted to be divorced from his wife. He was so full of hatred toward her. Now, I don't even want to get rid of her. I want to get even. Before I divorce her, I want to put as much hurt on her as she put on me. I want to really get her. The Christian lawyer came up with an ingenious plan. He said, I'll tell you what, you want to get her? You go home to your wife and you act like you really do love her. You act like these last 15 years of marriage have been just a warm-up. You go home and you pour it on. You praise her for everything you can find. When she burns the dinner, eat the top of it and say, well, the top was pretty good. You go home and you love her with everything. Go out of your way to be as kind and considerate and generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please her. Make her believe you. And after you've convinced her of your undying love and the fact that you hold her right there in your very highest of esteem, then drop the bomb and tell her that you're getting a divorce. And the man smiled. Yeah, that's it. That's what I want. That's revenge. That's what I'll do. That'll really get her. Out the door. So he started acting as if. For 2 months, he showed love and kindness and living with her in harmony and giving reinforcement and sharing. And after about 2 or 3 months, he didn't come back. That smart alecky lawyer called him. He said, you ready to go through that divorce now? The divorce? Oh, no, never. I discovered I really do still love her. I discovered that my actions changed my feelings. My emotions resulted in emotions. My ability to love is so now established that it'll be repeated by the fervent promise in every deed I do. Christians, we have set too long, too still to remember what that love is all about. That love that was laid upon us when Jesus Christ pulled you in. I invite you to the rescue mission tomorrow night. Verse 16. What a way to start there. What a better example than to keep with us. Again, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Do you understand what joy this brings me? And it ain't just because it's a pile of food. Although that's a pretty good thing. I can look down here. You have it within your capacity to give out love. And you did. You get it. You understand it. We live by the fact that our whole existence has been saved by the very Jesus Christ who laid down his life for us in 17 and 18. If anyone has material possessions, sees his brothers without need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. With actions and in truth. Actions. Oh, I can say I love you. As I walk past a dirty pile of clothes, honey, I love you. As I walk past a sink full of dishes, honey, I love you. As she's got her head stuck inside the dishwasher trying to get it going again, honey, I love you. I keep that nonsense up. She's going to smother me in my sleep one night. There, I'll fix that for you. I'll carry that basket of clothes down. I'm not allowed to wash clothes. That's a whole long, drawn-out story. But I can take them down there. I can bring them back up. I ain't allowed to fold them either, but that's another thing. It's by the actions that you give that shows the love that you have. Not just saying the words. By the actions you give shows the love you have. Jesus Christ sat at the throne before he came down, and the Father said, I'll fix them. No, I'll go. Why? Because I love them. I'll go down there and be born of a virgin, and I'll live a life among them, and I'll let them beat me forevermore and hang me on a cross, and I'll bleed out and die so that they can approach you, Father. I love them. Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you love Jesus Christ? D.L. Moody tells this story. Show me a church where there is love, and I will show you a church that has action and power to support that love in the community. In Chicago a few years ago, a little boy attended Sunday school, and I knew of him. His parents moved to another part of the city, but the little fellow still went to the same Sunday school. Although his parents moving away meant he had to take a long walk in each direction, and it was tiresome. And a friend asked him why he went so far and told him that there were plenty of other Sunday schools just as good right around the corner. And his response was, "They may be good for others, but they're not good for me." And when the fellow said, "Why not?" he said, "Because at that Sunday school, they love a fellow over there named Jesus Christ." Do you love Jesus Christ? Really? You sound like these kids that were up here this morning still half asleep. Has the coffee not kicked in? I said, do you love Jesus Christ?
Yes.
If we could only make the world believe that we loved them, then there would be fewer empty churches, smaller proportion of our population who have never darkened a church door. Let love replace duty in church relations, and the world will soon be evangelized. That's what D.L. Moody wrote. Actions show love. Motions bring emotions. I love going to the rescue mission. I have a ball in there. Excuse me. What love is sacrifice. And I mean total and not in the way that you might think. It means sacrificing your pride. Sacrificing this mantle that you put upon yourself about being fancy and stepping forward and saying, I love Jesus Christ. I have to tell people that all the time. Because I wasn't one that would say that. Now I really don't care. If you like me, accept that. If you don't, I'm going to say it. Go on your merry way. Even to some of my closest friends who, believe it or not, still remain close to me. And actually have started to change a few of their attitudes around me. Verse 19 through 22. This, then, is how we know that... that we belong to the truth. And how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. I love the story Linda told about the spot, when Jesus Christ came. She couldn't go out the door, just cleaned it up. That's what the guilty conscience is. If something in your heart is nagging at you, and believe you me, you can get to that position by getting mad at somebody. By not being forgiving. By not saying I'm sorry. Blot, spot, whatever you want to call it. Jesus Christ says, John in this letter says, clear out your heart first. Then you'll be strengthened. God already knows everything. He knows everything that's in your heart. He knows every single thing you do. You may think nobody else sees it. When you're alone by yourself, or when you're driving in the car, or when you're around a group of friends you know ain't never going to darken the door of a church, and you walk around them and you cuss and carry on, and you think ain't nobody going to see it. He sees it. He knows it. Oh, that kills me. Because I spend a lot of time alone in the shop, and the other night I was taking the blades off the mower, and one of the nuts rung off, and the blade come off and hit me in the side of the leg, and the mower fell down and caught the side of my leg, and I leaned over to catch it and smashed my fingers on the wall. That was all one fluid motion. And in a younger day, I'd have had a lot of words to say about that. But because I love Jesus Christ, my actions prove my love. I just went, and pick the parts up. And it hurt. Actions show love. Vincent Hallinan was one of the most powerful attorneys in San Francisco back in the early 60s. He was just a powerhouse. If you knew Vincent Hallinan, you knew somebody who believed in the cause for truth and justice. And he went to jail for it on more than one occasion. On May 1962, a dramatic advertisement appeared in the San Francisco Examiner. I don't want my husband to die in the gas chamber. Here we go with action showing love for a crime he did not commit. I therefore will offer myself, my services, for 10 years as a cook, maid, or housekeeper to any leading attorney who would defend him and bring about his vindication. Vincent Hallam in Red Desk, one of San Francisco's greatest attorneys. When you hired Vincent Hallam, man, you better have a pile of money, because he was successful. And so he called after reading this ad, Gladys Kidd. Her husband, Robert Lee Kidd, was about to be tried for the slaying of an elderly antique dealer. Kidd's fingerprints had been found on an antique sword that had bloodstains all over it that were his as well. His sword had been found in the victim's shop. During the trial, Hallinan proved that the antique dealer had not been killed by the sword, and that Kidd's fingerprints and blood on the sword were there because Kidd and a friend of his were there a couple days earlier playing around with the sword, and he had cut himself and quickly put it down so as to not get in trouble. The jury, after 11 hours debating, found Kidd not guilty. And when it was time to settle up the bill, Vincent Hallinan told her, "No need. No need. Actions. Showing love. Jesus Christ said to you, all you need to do is profess my name. Say, Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. That's it. You can't build me a mansion. You can't buy me a car big enough. You can't make a tractor run good enough, Paul, to get my love. You just need to say the words." And the ultimate, ultimate professing of unashamed love is Jesus Christ. So what is in a name? Well, my last name's Leatherman. And I'm pretty proud of my last name. And it really means nothing. In German, it means tanner or seller of leather. Ain't that right, bud? I walk around all day. My name's Leatherman. You can trace my name all the way back to the beginning of the Church of the Brethren. That's my family. But you know what my name is now? Dad, can I? And honey, do this. There's no meaning in my name, but at one time of day, especially when John was writing this, the name meant something. And so for him to write the words in that verse, starting in verse 23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, that name carries weight. To be able to say those words. That is actions showing love, motions promoting emotion. That's what love is. What love is doing for your brothers and your sisters. Continuing on to that 24th verse. He even goes on to say it. We'll start again in the 23rd. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love him, to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters, that Spirit is as simple as this. We live by the word of Jesus Christ, and we strengthen ourselves by showing that love. Linda, Charlie, Wendy, Pat, Sonia, Shirley, Bud, Mark, Marvin, Uncle Herman, Becky, Margaret, Hazel, Glenn, John, Tiny, Larry, Leroy. Thank you for loving me, because your actions toward me have allowed me to continue to preach the gospel and have given me the Spirit needed to do that. Chris, Jennifer, Alyssa, Gail, Pat, Gene, Steve, Alan, Rachel, Jason, Lucy, Frank, Chris, Anna, Marge, Ellis, Eloise, Doris, don't think I don't see you sitting back there, Denny. And Greg. Thank you. Your actions are love. Your actions are love for those that are searching for Jesus Christ, whether you know it or not. If they hear that you might have a possible way to show Christ unto them, regardless of how they might act, they're searching. They're listening. They're wondering. They're waiting. They're hoping. Because at one time a day, you were that lost person, just as hoping, as waiting, as wondering. I don't want to be Paul Leatherman, the nut, anymore. Wait a minute, that didn't come out right. I am Paul Leatherman, the nut. I don't want to be Paul Leatherman, the person before Christ. I want to be Paul Leatherman, serving Jesus Christ with my actions so you can see His love. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as You have commanded us, as You have given unto us, You have shown us love. We saw it this week, all around us. Now we need to put it into action. Now we need to remember our brothers and our sisters that are entirely less fortunate than us. And it ain't about money. It ain't about material things, totally. It is about taking that first step, recognizing those, and saying, here, let me help you because Jesus Christ loves you like me. We need to get up off our seats again. We need to reacquaint ourselves with that love. We need to look at all the examples that there were laid out by Jesus Christ and say, look, if I can do 1/10 of 1/10 of 1/10 of 1/10% of what He did and show Jesus Christ's love, then when we are ushered into that final moment, when we walk up and the Father greets us and says, well done, good and faithful servant, we'll know He mean it. Keep showing us what love is. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, this past week, I get to share this story now. This is going to maybe get you a little wound. Toddy's sick, and I had to go see him because he's real sick. Need your prayers. And I went in and sat down on the couch with a boy who was crying because he just couldn't take it much longer, and I had prayer with him. We were looking at pictures of baptism. And Toddy goes, what's that? I started witnessing to it. Big, burly man. Little 10-year-old boy. Asking me questions about Jesus Christ. That one will get you. The same Jesus Christ that's working in that heart right here, waiting for you if you need it, as we sing this last hymn. For God so loved the world that He did give His only begotten Son. That whosoever should believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That, my brothers and sisters, is what love is. And if you need it, as we sing this last hymn, let me get up here and pray with you. Amen.
Please stand and turn to page 487.
Christians.
May the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you now and forevermore as we depart from here. May you be made strong to walk in the week to come. May you be given all that's needed to show Jesus and what love is. I bless you now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.